Hey guys, welcome back to the Sell and Tell podcast. Today we have an awesome episode about sustainability. But first, this episode is going to be brought to you by Elysian Marketing. Elysian Marketing is going to provide all your marketing services and virtual assistant services. You can reach them at elysianmarketing.us. And then I also have to have a side note today because I have been asked multiple times if you're watching on YouTube about my hats. And so I did want to bring one of the hat makers on, which is Burnin' Hats. They hand burn hats. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can kind of see that they even make university hats. So this is Baylor University. I think they're super cute. I love them. And then recently, I also had these made for a girls' trip to Fredericksburg. So you can get them custom made, which I love. They're all hand burnt in there, and you can have all these different colors. So if you have questions about my hats, again, I get them from different vendors, but you can reach out to me and ask. Apparently, that's a burning question. So let's move on to the listing of the week. Listing of the week, we actually have one at 2001 Camellia Street in Denton, Texas. This one really has a really awesome open house going on this Saturday from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. So y'all are gonna have an opportunity to see this open house. Take your clients over there. If you just want to view it and walk through it, let's view it and walk through it. But it's going to be a spacious single-story home. It's got 4 bedrooms and 3 full baths. It's got an office, and one of those bedrooms and bathrooms is actually from a converted garage. So they have expanded the home, put air conditioning in it. So they have made it larger. And what I really love is not only did they expand that garage, but they gave direct access from that bedroom into the backyard. So if you have older children, if you have your parents living with you, if it's a roommate situation because you're going to University of Texas or Texas Women's University, this is going to be a great house. You're going to have that secluded space to be able to have some privacy and also have access to the backyard. And I know one of the biggest questions about garage conversions is, where am I going to put my car? Well, no worries. They already built a carport out there. You're going to be safe from the hail. You're going to be safe from the tornadoes. Cross your fingers. It's still got a wood-burning fireplace. So that's really nice. I love a good wood-burning fireplace. And the backyard's really nice and big. So if you've got pets, you've got enough room back there for them to run around. If y'all want to go ahead and take a look at this one, it's near the University of North Texas, got easy access to I-35 in Denton. You've got shopping at Razor Ranch and Denton Crossing. The listing agent for this one is going to be Deborah Johnson. You can reach her at 940-594-7253. And the MLS number on this one is 208-64043. Again, if y'all have nothing to do this weekend, or you've got a client burning to buy a house, then this one story is going to be available for an open house this Saturday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And that address again is 2001 Camellia Street in Denton, Texas. So let's get into our episode today. We've got Vanessa right here, and she's going to talk to us about sustainability in DFW real estate, how to make smarter choices, how to build greener homes. So, Vanessa, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Wright. I'm the Education and Sustainability Manager for Levin Electronics. They are an emerging smart home technology company out of Canada. I was the Sustainability Manager for Mattamy Homes. I was a field manager for Pulte Homes, and prior to that, I was an energy rater. And I also worked for Dallas Habitat for Humanity for a number of years, so I actually really enjoy swinging a hammer, and I had working with Habitat is how I really got the construction bug and the building science bug when I realized that no heating or cooling costs for any Habitat built home was ever over $25. I was like, how did that happen? And I really got into green building science and learned how the way that we build a home can have lifelong impacts on the sustainability of it, as well as not just the sustainability, but the maintenance and care of the home. You know, if you build a more efficient home, it's more reasonable for the homeowner to take care of long term. Your HVAC equipment's going to last longer. You're not going to have cold drafts in the winter that you're constantly compensating for with the space heaters or whatnot. I mean, there's just so many advantages to building a more sustainable home. And that's something that I think we are working more and more towards on a code level at a national level, but also each municipality is working hard towards becoming more energy efficient in what they require from builders. So.
Yeah, and I think that you hit the nail on the head. When you grab that construction bug, you kind of just stay in it forever. Yeah, you just keep going. So tell us a little bit, especially because a lot of our agents are listening in, and we want to make sure that they can educate their clients as well. Why is sustainability such a big subject in the North Texas market? Why does it matter?
Well, in the North Texas market, we are bringing in people, like our growth has been immeasurable almost, right? As far as the population growth, the need for housing for so many. And we have people coming from all over the country and all over the world, really, coming to the Dallas market to put their roots down and stay and be here for a long time. So that really gives builders and real estate the opportunity for sale across many different demographics, right? I think we have people still looking for urban environment, multifamily. We have people with a lot of, what do they call it, multi-generational homes. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're building a lot of that. So when you consider that most, let's say your mechanicals in a home, your HVAC, your plumbing, you know, always up until a certain point, when you were building a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, they were thinking that's going to be 3 people, maybe 4, you know, this, that, and the other. And that's what they designed the homes after. We've altered our code requirements and what's required in homes now to where when you go to set your HVAC or your water sense for a home, you're not just thinking, okay, if there's 3 bedrooms and there's 4 people, we're doing it more for the house as a system as a whole now. And when you look at a home as a whole system, it makes a difference in the efficiency you have in it and what's going to be going forward. You know, a tankless water heater isn't just so that you can get water faster. It's for providing the most efficient way of getting warm water to every room in the house and for, you know, a constant supply, regardless of how many people live in the home. I feel like also with North Texas, we are ahead of the curve in so many ways with the state of Texas being very forward thinking on code compliance. We've already adopted IECC 2021, which is just now starting to roll out throughout the country. The city of Dallas has the Dallas Green Building system to where if you build a home in the actual city of Dallas, you have to follow their green requirements. In comparison to a lot of markets, like when I was a home builder in Frisco, we had like 17 inspections throughout your home building process. And you go into some markets, you might have 5 or 6, you know. So a lot of our municipalities take it very seriously to be strict, and whether they're doing it to you know, get back at the builders or just make sure that they have the best I kind of feel like it was a little bit get back at the builders, but to make sure that they have the best product to provide for the people wanting to move into their communities, you know.
Well, how would sustainability impact property values? Because I feel like that's another segment that if you have a home that is a green home, then for our agents, it's not only going to be attractive to their buyers, but the property value of it is going to be higher, and the return on investment is going to be higher.
I feel like that's the truth. I feel like yeah, and you and I have discussed this before with the real estate market. So much people get distracted, or prior demographics would get distracted by great flooring and cool countertops. And more, I feel like homeowners, the demographic that's purchasing now is more focused on, yeah, but what is my, you know, R value in my walls? What is my HVAC unit? They really do want to make sure, you know, that they're getting value for what they're, you know, buying, as opposed to before. I think real estate agents had the ability to say, yeah, but look at these appliances. And now people are like, that's great and all, but am I going to have to replace this entire HVAC unit for $40,000 in the next 5 years? I think people are more conscientious about that. And that's very valuable. And I think that we're really changing the tide of real estate to where that is something homeowners are looking forward to, is finding out what kind of energy efficiency there are. You know, every home since 2006 gets what's called a home energy rating, right? So it's called the HERS. And it started in 2006. So it hasn't been a big selling point necessarily for a lot of home sales up to this point. But now, even with real estate, those HERS ratings are becoming known, because the houses they're selling now may have had a HERS rating. Whereas, you know, 20 years ago, the houses that were built didn't have that sort of system to gauge and judge what the efficiency of a home is. And I just recently came from the ResNet conference, which is a code compliance conference that for building science geeks, and what the future of code compliance and energy efficiencies look like. And that the appraisal market is really starting to get into the home energy ratings. And from going forward, I think in the next year, they're going to be altering home insurance as well as home appraisals to take into consideration, does it have an EV charger? Is it solar ready? Does it have Energy Star compliance? Is it a net zero home? You know, those sort of things are going to greatly affect your appraisal and greatly affect your ability to insure a home. And that's something that we haven't seen up to this point. And that's going to be a huge selling point for selling a more efficient home, you know?
Yeah, I think that'll be great for them to start looking at those extra factors and putting those into what it's going to cost, and maybe lower deductibles as well. So I really look forward to seeing how that turns out. What are some trends in some of these green homes that you're seeing? Like if you have a resale home, what are some of the trends that people are doing to try to get it to where it is a more greener home?
Well, EV chargers going into home garages is becoming more and more common. For a couple $100, they can have a 220 outlet, it looks a lot like a washer and dryer outlet, like a 4-pin, but they'll put those in your garage, usually within a reasonable distance to your service panel. So therefore the cost of installing, it's really not that expensive, all things considered. And EVs, I think, are something that a lot of people are looking forward to as far as trends. Solar is also another trend that's happening a lot. And I feel like the solar industry is working hard to not make that a burden for future homeowners of a house. You know, it's something that real estate has really had to struggle with. You know, how do we sell homes that have a solar contract, or, you know, they're paying off their solar? You know, maybe the new homeowners don't want to take on that debt or wait for that ROI. And I think that home lending is also looking at ways they can try and mitigate that risk for a homeowner. But I also think solar technology has gotten so much better in the last 10, 15 years. It's a benefit to buy a home lately with solar, because going forward, that's going to be required on new construction. Not right away, but soon that'll be something that's in every new construction, is solar ready or solar panels. Same with EV chargers. And I think building up the current home market to match what's available in new homes is something that's going to be vital. You know, because we cannot continue to constantly only have new homes. We've got to learn how to retro what we have on the ground to go ahead and make it more energy efficient.
Right. And if we keep digging up and building more homes, eventually, you know, it's gonna get to where we don't have that population. I mean, who knows? We still seem to have tons and tons of people moving to DFW every day. Yeah. But, you know, eventually we're going to have too many new construction homes. And I mean, how do we, if your house was built in 1995, how do you get it to where it's not costing you $250 to cool down the house during the summer for a month? And you only have, you know, 2000 square feet. So that's a lot. But, you know, it's talking about solar too, is that has been a really big concern for real estate agents, is they're telling their clients, they're advising them, do not get solar. Don't get solar. In fact, I saw one agent post something on one of the big DFW real estate boards the other day about how solar companies profit 75% of the cost of your solar, which I don't believe could be true. I've worked in solar before. I've worked for a solar company. I've worked for a very honest solar company, so I'm not sure that was 12, 13 years ago, so it could change, but I will say that in my mind, as things have changed, I will say, looking back on my time in solar, try to find somebody that purchases those panels at a wholesale price. Research the companies that they're buying those panels from. So a lot of really good panels come out of Germany. So look for somebody that's buying panels from Germany. There's certain vendors that are selling these wholesale panels that they're not actually as efficient over time as they say they do. So you really got to do your research. But I'm curious, what are you hearing from agents other than from my point of view? They're like, don't do it. Absolutely no. It's going to be a burden. Buyers aren't going to buy your house. And I just don't know that that's all true.
I don't think that's all true, and I think some of the burden's been put on solar companies to make that a lot less convoluted, and how that goes. I also think that's going to alter dramatically as soon as some production builder, and I got my guesses on who will do it, but some production builder is definitely going to be the first to roll out the solar option with their homes, especially if they're building net zero. And we all know the one major national builder that's building net zero, but solar stub out is already in there, and I think solar is just going to start being on more and more new construction homes, and that's going to make it less of a buy rebuy sort of situation. And I feel like we have to conquer the solar issue and the renewable energy, and I think a lot of utility companies are looking at how they can make that more appealing to a homeowner, right? Okay, so they have rebates, they also have discounts for energy storage. I know when I was with Habitat, we were funded to build a concept house for Rice University that students had designed that was solar, and they were getting money back from TXU monthly. They were getting sometimes a $10, $30 check, but for the electric company to pay because you're actually putting that money back into the grid. And when you're putting a power back into the grid, a lot of utility companies are going to be very thankful for that. You might get kilowatt reductions, you might get paid back, you might get rebates regularly. And I think real estate's going to continue pushing for that sort of benefit to be able to pass on to their homeowners. I know it comes with, solar. I know it's going to be this contracted amount that you didn't obligate yourself to. However, you're going to be able to get a rebate regularly. You're going to be able to, give back to the grid and therefore pay a lot less for electricity. And I think that's going to become more and more common. There's a lot of companies too that are working towards making solar storage not such a big deal. So you can actually bank that power at your home. There's a great new technology coming out called the SPAN panel. So it's an electric panel that it's all app related, but the panel itself tells you, right now it does it real time, but say you're about to run a washing machine at 7 o'clock on a Thursday, it'll actually go out and check and say, you know what, right now the kilowatt per hour amount is this much. How about we wait 2 hours when it's this much for you to wash your clothes? And it constantly monitors where your power is going, which breaker's pulling what power, which is actually very invaluable. You don't know. You're constantly providing power for every outlet in your home, for every outlet, for every plug. Whether or not you're using that power, we don't know. But let's say you've got a lamp plugged into your spare bedroom you hardly go into that might have a little short in it. It might be pulling 30 kilowatts every day. You don't know. So whenever you have something actually regulating what each breaker's spending and how much you're actually spending, it can really help you be more energy efficient and utilize, your kilowatts per hour. So I think that's one of
That would
the
be
emerging
awesome.
technologies that's really cool. AI and smart home technology is just, it's going to continue revolutionizing the resale market as well as new home construction, but the resale market, because that's what so much of the focus is. We can focus on new codes to make new, stuff coming up to be more efficient, but more and more the focus is on what about what's already here? What's already on the ground, what's available, and how do we make that more efficient? And roofers are having a lot to do with that. When we have these hailstorms come through Texas, more and more roofers are not just going up and throwing up some new OSB and some shingles. Now they're looking at, do you want us to go ahead and look at, you know, insulated roof decking? Do you want us, you know, people need to really look at what's being put back into their roofs and say, okay, you know, this is my one opportunity to open the top of my house and fix that insulation or fix the stuff that's part of the core, you know?
Yeah, and I know the roofing, they're getting more and more options now. And I know me, myself, like much of our neighbors replaced our roofs last year because we got it pretty bad. But for personally, for my parents, they opted to go with a metal roof, and it looks just like shingles. I honestly didn't see the difference until you see it closer. But it's a metal roof, and it's rated for larger sized hail, much significantly large hail. And it's also rated for many more years than a regular roof. So there's many more options in there. And, you know, going back to solar, we're going to have a separate episode on this. So we're going to have to do another episode on this because I have so many questions on that. And especially with the experience that I've had with these rebates and people calling the rebates a lie. And I think that we need to maybe have another conversation on some of those. But the roofing has been quite interesting. And quite frankly, some of these HOAs are probably the people that are hindering these greener options for the roofing, because a great example is a community. I won't name names, but I know of a community that was allowing these metal roof options. And they, as soon as a lot of people started opting for it, they decided, wait a second, no, we're not doing that. And I won't say this was because of it, wasn't because of it. Happens that there's a person that owns a roofing company on the board. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. That particular roofing company doesn't offer metal roofing. But either way, I think that HOA kind of needs to back off of some of these greener options, allow them, even solar. If these HOA companies aren't allowing solar, maybe opt for some of these, the ways that HOAs are approaching it, where you have to paint the wiring and the excess amount. You have to paint them either the roofing color, or if it's going along the side of the house, painting it the gutter color. Those little things, we can't hinder homeowners from making their home greener. I just don't know why.
Well, HOAs don't have the greatest reputation for giving 2 cents about whether or not you can do what you want with your house sometimes. But I agree. They need to be able to offer those kind of options. And I feel like roofing, like so many industries, and you know, they've done it this way for so long. They don't want to change. They don't want to do something different and new. And like the guy on the board. Indoor air quality is another one that people are worried about, as I'm having an allergy fit.
It's okay.
I feel like some of the other things with net zero and with Energy Star. So one of the great things about Texas and us going to 2021 IECC so early, 2021 IECC and the previous Energy Star requirements, Energy Star 3.1, were really close. So it wasn't a whole lot different to go ahead and build an Energy Star home. And I think Texas works hard so that our codes are strict enough to where attaining Energy Star or Net Zero or these above code programs is easier and easier for a builder. With that being said, one of the things with Energy Star and Net Zero is focusing on indoor air quality to an extent, as well as water efficiency, solar readiness. But with indoor air quality, that can focus on humidity, carcinogens in the air, what materials were used to build your home. I whenever I first started learning about indoor air quality, I had no idea so much formaldehyde was used in your cabinets, your flooring. I mean, who knew we're breathing in formaldehyde? And as someone who does suffer quite a bit from allergies and asthma, and I have kids with a one child has a pretty compromised immune system, it's something that I'm very curious, and I would love for the smart technology in my home to be able to say, you know, every time you cook with that pan, the carcinogens in your kitchen skyrocket. Or, you know, every time your son takes a 45-minute shower, he doesn't put on the air and the humidity spikes, you know? So these are things that they'll start measuring regularly, and we can rely on smart technology and AI to help us regulate within a home.
Yeah, well, I know that this is a burning question for you, and I know it's something that both you and I have talked about many times, but how do we define a net zero home, and what is the role that these home builders are playing in advancing that sustainability factor to get to net zero? Because I know this is a burning topic for us that we talk about all the time.
All right, net zero homes, and they're I love net zero homes. Okay, so net zero homes are going to have, you know, increased insulation factors. They're going to have very energy efficient appliances. They're going to have water efficiency measures. It's going to have solar readiness, better mechanicals, better balancing. Like, for example, just a small example. Okay, so a net zero home using a Rheia HVAC system. I'm gonna pick on a Beazer house that I know of not too far away from here. So their home was that floor plan before they were net zero needed to have a 5-ton 16-SEER HVAC unit for balancing, right? That's what was needed for this home. It was gonna take two condensers, you know, it was gonna be two furnaces, just gonna be a mess, right? Take up half your attic, all this. So let's put that up in 140 degrees in the summer and see how that does. So once they put in an R60 in their attic, and they put R, I think 15 plus blue board on the outside, so like R18 walls, and they put the furnace inside the home, and they measured it with all of the increased stuff they did, it only needed a 2-ton HVAC unit, and it needed one furnace and one condenser, and it runs less than 30 minutes, and they had an ERV to mitigate humidity. It's just incredible. Now, it costs a little bit more up front for a builder, and that's where builders are, you know, hesitant. They don't want to spend more to build the house if they can't necessarily sell it. But more and more, they can sell it for that extra difference. And building a net zero home, the government gives, for the 45L credit, gives a $5,000 rebate back to the builder for building a net zero, $2,500 rebate for building an Energy Star home. But the net zero, there's one. Beazer is the one production home builder that's building net zero nationwide, and I can only hope more builders continue to catch on, because that way, for me, if you're building Energy Star here and code here, and you've got four different divisions, let's say you're like a large production home builder, if you're building Energy Star, it supersedes all those codes. You can just build the same at all of your divisions. You can, you know, get the best deal on insulation, and you can, I feel like it can be a value. It's a lot of work for a builder up front, but if you can accomplish it and get it done, I feel like you'll be passing on the best thing. Like I said, I go to these building science conferences, and I hang out with other building science enthusiasts. I'm trying not to say geeks as much, but we all are very proud of Beazer Homes, and we could all sit around and talk about it, and like, oh, they're trying, because they've already accomplished net zero. Now they're working on other technologies they can put in the home and how to help. And it's great. And when I go, you and I have more than once gone and done some of the auditing of model homes, and they are one of the ones that absolutely, to the nth degree, educate the homeowners on why energy efficiency is important, how it helps them long term, how it helps, you know, the health and reliability of their home, the systems, you know. I just think it's such a value, and I hope more and more production builders go that direction. And I feel like in a market like Dallas, where it is so competitive and we have so many options for building, I think they need to set themselves apart by energy efficiency, and we're going to save you money long term, you know, is a big way of doing that.
Well, and you know, the market is slower now, and we just talked about a lot of the generation that is buying now is more interested in the how to be in a greener home. So spending extra money on a little bit higher of a price point to get that net zero, I just don't think that the pennies on the dollar on their monthly mortgage they really care about, because they at the end of the day they care about having an efficient home.
Right. And you and I, let's take you and I example. We met in a corporate type environment, right? But now we both work successfully from home, and I think that's something that our generation, and maybe it's also post-COVID, we are going to be in our home so much more than our grandparents' generation. So we're looking at
Right.
this is my health all day long. But I think that's something that builders are taking into consideration more and more too in their marketing and in how they approach homeowners. It's like, this isn't somewhere you come to sleep at night. This might be somewhere you work. This might be, stay-at-home parenting is more and more common. Homeschooling children is more and more common. Like, this is my office. This is my house. This is the daycare. This is definitely where the chickens and the puppies live. Like, there's so much in this home.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, you spend so, especially nowadays, we're spending so much more time in our house. And for us to be sure that we are not breathing in formaldehyde would be great. and
Absolutely.
the other thing I just thought of is with Beazer. It cracked me up because I don't know if they still do this, but they might still do it. When they put chocolate bunnies in their attic of their
Yes,
model
they do
homes,
the
do you
webcam.
remember that?
Yes.
Do they still do it?
I will have to look that up, but that was what
Yeah.
they did, I think, last Easter to show one of their first net zero homes is they kept a webcam on a hollow chocolate bunny. This isn't even a solid one. This
Yes.
is like the hollow kind, and in an attic in April in Texas. And I was like,
Yeah.
wow, that's
Yeah,
awesome.
no, I'm pretty sure they've been doing it for like 2 or 3 years now. I don't know how long. I know for sure they did a few years ago and I found out about it. And but it's hilarious to me because they put it in the attic. It is a hollow bunny, chocolate bunny, around Easter time that they do it, and that thing does not melt.
No.
It's
Yeah.
so impressive.
Well,
And I don't want to be like a self-promoting ad for Beazer right now, but I thought that tactic was amazing. As a marketing professional for a home builder, kudos, guys.
I just looked it up. It was called the Show Me the Bunny campaign, which is awesome. That's a pretty
Yes.
chocolate bunny placed in the attic of a model home. That's awesome. So
Yeah,
I will
I thought that
look
was genius. And I really wish more and more builders would look at this as an opportunity to, yes, you might be putting more money into the home. Yes, your home prices might be slightly higher, but the selling approach, I mean, imagine if your sales teams are just as educated as these net zero builder sales teams, where they're able to educate the buyer, they're able to educate agents. And for all those agents out there listening, I would recommend going to these home builders going to a home builder like Beazer, listening to their spiel, reading all of that you can up on these sustainability options that they're putting in their home, and compare those to other options for your buyers so that you can educate your buyers because they're
Absolutely.
looking at you.
Yes, I agree. And they just the littlest things, will make such huge difference long term in a home. And I hope more and more builders continue to look at ways to be more efficient with the way they construct. I feel like it's they're we're behind the world in so many other ways. Like 90% of the homes built in Sweden are offsite construction. And when you think about the offsite construction abilities, so you build everything outside or in a warehouse, and then you're only on the job site like what, 30 to 60 days. You just put together the puzzle and you're good to go,
Yeah.
and that's the majority of the world is offsite construction, and we're still kind of behind in the US about that. We're still so big on our stick building and 100 and some builders 200 days on a job site.
Oh my gosh. No. Well, I know that there's a lot of there are some things that you and I can't talk about on here, at least not in the coming year, but there are things that we know that there might be some offsite action going on that makes the home building process more seamless and also more of a net zero targeted area. So I'm excited to kind of see that happen. I know there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff circulating. Don't want to put it out there,
No.
but I like where it's going.
And there are builders that have made a lot of strides in those areas already. That's very well known. Like Lennar really jumped into some of the concrete 3D printed houses. they've done okay with that. I think that's a great emerging technology. It's got a lot of potential. I think a lot of
Austin or San Antonio? Where
Austin.
Are they?
That's that. Austin. Austin. Yeah. I think they did, but there again, Lennar also jumped into a small, I don't want to call it a micro home community, but or a tiny home community, but they did an amazing, every lot and home is $125,000 or something like that. And it was just a huge community of what other builders consider inexpensive homes, a different thing, but they sold as quick as they could be built. And we've got a couple of those homes, communities here in Dallas as well. And,
I did
that's
see
one
that.
Thing
yeah.
I wonder about so much, so much of a population boom. You know, we talked about we can only continue expanding the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I believe the Dallas North Tollway is now expanded out to the Red River, if I'm not mistaken. And I think one of the caveats to us not building as much is they'll start turning to tiny home communities or condo communities, a lot of multi-level, multi-family, and it just alters the look of the quote-unquote American dream as far as home ownership. You may never get a yard, or you may never get a garage, or and so I hope that that's something that we can continue to make sure we maintain the integrity of what a home is to the average American, regardless of what kind of homes we build, and that they still work towards making sure that everyone deserves a good home. You know, they shouldn't just build junk and hope, well, that's good enough. I don't want that. And I appreciate Lennar and Pulte. Pulte's gone to like all panelized construction. A lot of production that you can tell the difference in some of the larger production builders working, and even some of the custom ones working towards looking at technologies and trying change. And then you can kind of, you and I both know there are some that are just going to build them the same way they've always built them and hope people keep buying them, you know? And then they do good. So I don't know.
Well, I think something's got to change. You've got to be at the forefront of your industry. And eventually, if you don't get on board and if you don't ride this sustainability train or this net zero train, you're going to be left behind. And there's no question about it. I mean, you may not even pass inspections eventually. So
eventually, I'm really good friends with the national sustainability manager for DR Horton. Her name's Erin. She's great. I love Erin. We were energy raters together, and she's incredible. And she and I were talking at that ResNet conference, and things I know, but it can be so challenging for a huge builder the size of DR Horton to make those changes on a divisional level, on a community level, you know, when you're looking at such a superseding picture and there's so much that needs to change, but they're working on it. And that's what's important. And more builders are making sure that they have sustainability teams in place. When I was a sustainability manager at a production builder, half my job was listening to pitches that could be great. And the other half was trying to sell those ideas to the rest of my company, go to construction and say, this is why you should do this. This is how it would help us build houses better, and going to sales. This is how you can sell better, and going to purchasing and saying, this is what we'd have to change on our scopes of work and whatnot, you know, but more and more builders are, they care enough to have that person in the office to nag everyone else. And that's a value.
Yeah. That's why you landed yourself in my office. You're like, hey, can you make this pretty? Let's sell it.
Everybody's got it.
So what, I guess for the future, what are you seeing as being the next big thing? Affordability, accessibility. What are we seeing for over the next decade for sustainability?
Over the next decade, we're going to be altering the mechanical systems within a home, period, whether it's electric, plumbing, and HVAC. And those are the three biggest things that go into a home. So whenever we're going to be looking at heat pump technology, which is a much more efficient way of HVAC systems, we're going to be looking at ERVs or HRVs, depending on the where you are, coming into homes. And people are like, what's an ERV? It basically pulls out your humidity out of your house, you know, and it works with your fresh air. That way your HVAC furnace isn't the one doing all the work all the time, because humidity can have such an enormous effect on the comfort of a home, right? You can have a house that's 68 degrees and high humidity, and you're going to feel hot. You're going to feel sticky, you know? So if you don't, and we're building these tight homes with great insulation, and then we're sticking people to work in them, live in them, raise their kids in them, and we're building them so tight so that our beautiful air-conditioned air doesn't get out. Well, that just means that the air inside is going to be full of everything from inside the home, which isn't necessarily a good thing. And so I feel like as more and more of these homes continue to have warranty issues, the first homes we built with tight ACHs, the first homes we built with heavy insulation factors, as we roll through what warranty issues or comfort long-term issues are going to be, it's only going to continue to drive the technology towards better indoor air quality, better dehumidification, more efficient HVAC systems, better water efficiency. You know, water's a huge problem. As you know, I live in Rockwall, Texas. I'm right on Lake Ray Hubbard. We go there once a week at least, just to the park and whatnot. Lake Ray Hubbard was put into Dallas in the 50s by the city of Dallas, and it was for the city of Dallas. All the water in Lake Ray Hubbard actually only goes to Dallas, like city of Rockwall and Heath and all that. They have to truck their water in from somewhere else. So
you're SOL.
You're SOL. Our water prices are crazy. Where I'm like, I'm on a lake. Like, I don't understand. But that was so brilliant of the city of Dallas to put that in, knowing they were going to have this growth, and they wanted to make sure they could always provide water. Water, I think, is going to be a huge, huge problem eventually. And I think we're going to have to focus on better water efficiencies, whether it's everybody getting low flow toilets, everybody having, you know, so many gallons per flush commodes, and how many gallons come out of your shower head. You know, those wonderful rain shower heads with six shower things spraying 45 just so you can shave
it's
your legs.
It's called the party shower.
It's wasteful. I can never enjoy it. It's wasteful. I think that's going to be something that will become not a problem, but once we really conquer some of the energy efficiencies, I think water is going to be something we're all really focused on in the near future, whether they have to put in more lakes or whatnot. But Texas doesn't have as much water as it looks like, and that's my home state. And I work in a lot of states. I was in Albuquerque last week, and obviously out in the desert, you know, they worry quite a bit about water as well. And I just think that water is going to be something. Indoor air quality and water efficiencies are going to be huge in the next 10 years.
Big thing.
Big, yeah. And I think that's something
we're definitely going to have to do a part two for sustainability, because I have so much more that I want to talk about, but I do want to talk about Levin lighting. First off, I totally forgot to tell you that I noticed in our neighborhood, we switched all of our street lights to those big solar street lights. They're pretty amazing. I love them.
Those are great.
It's amazing.
They really
are. Oh, and
the
dog park also. So the dog park has these big, like probably I'd say they're 4 or 5 foot poles, and they're just these cylindrical poles that are solar lights to be able to light up the dog park. And they're like warm lighting, so they don't shine into anybody's windows or anything. It's awesome. I love this solar lighting throughout the community. It's great.
I hope that's something. I think the city of Dallas is looking at it for some of the downtown areas. How great would that be to be able to drive? I mean, you and I have both driven downtown Dallas, leaving a Mavs game or whatever, and you're just like, don't look down that street. You know, you can be walking around in Deep Elm.
What are you saying? It's perfect.
So many friendly people down there. But at least with light, we can see them coming. I feel like a lot of cities are going to be looking, put these in some of the more urban areas, and college campuses are switching to these solar lights, not just solar lights, but some of the solar call boxes, where no matter what, there is power available. There's no such thing as run into a call box to say, hey, some guy's chasing me and it doesn't have power. I think we had a real problem with that a few years ago on a campus here in Texas, but, yeah, not good. But I think that kind of stuff is really going to be helping. And I know that, I'll get back to Levin lighting in a second to talk about how a lot of people are concerned with current administration changes, that some of this is going to be altered, or progress towards green energy must be stopped because of, you know, political leanings or whatnot. And I just feel like from all the stuff that I've known and read about and what I'm keeping up with as far as all the White House press releases, this, that, and the other, yes and no. At the end of the day, Trump is a builder. I mean, he has been a builder for a long time. He may drill, baby, drill, but he is also all about let's build what we can. I mean, he's a builder, and he likes to build quality things. So I do want to allay people's fears as far as that goes, because I've had some people reach out and ask, you know, with the current administration, do you still have a job? Do you still do this? Like, yes, yes, everything will still be okay. I think some of the funny technology changes, like we talked about the chocolate bunny. Did you know that recently in the last few years, OSHA changed it to where when someone's in an attic, they have to have two people for safety, because you can't have one person pass out because of heat.
I did not know that.
So wouldn't you rather just make it to where it's safe to be in an attic rather than having to hire two HVAC guys, you know?
Right.
So I think those are things that perhaps the new administration could take logic and reason and go, huh, maybe we should change, you know, the cause rather than treating the symptom. I can only hope that will be something going forward. Levin is a startup company out of Canada. It was started by James Kierstead, and he had a friend who was a home builder. He worked in the spa and hot tub industry, and the home builder was building panelized walls. It was like, how do you have wireless, you know, wireless on and off switches and wireless controls for your spas, but I can't get them in a house? And him and Jane put their head together and decided we should do wireless light switches. So Levin provides wireless light switches. It's great for retroing older homes. What you do is you have no switch leg. You don't have 30% less wire in the home because they're not having to run wire to every switch. And you got usually 40 to 60 switches throughout a house, and that saves quite a bit. Also, it saves those penetrations in the drywall. If I wanted to move the light switches in my house, I would just pull them off the wall. I think there is a, you know, 1/8 inch drywall screw, but it doesn't penetrate fully through the drywall. So I just get my toothpaste and patch that and move that, you know, move the switch wherever I want, which is handy. My partner's sister is chair bound, and he went and moved all of her switches down 12 inches for her. You know, when my dad was in his chair, he had a wireless switch. He could still control the lights. Plus, it also all gives it all the information in an app, so that you have the smart ability to look at it all and make sure, you know, all your lights are on or off. Or you can, again, my buddy has his kid's Xbox put through a switch so that he can control it from his app.
You know, turn it off.
Turn it off. But you can also dim. Our new technology coming out by the end of the year will have occupancy sensor. It'll also have ambient light, you know, so that you can say, oh, it's really the natural light's already so bright. I want to bring down the kilowatts I'm putting out on this to 60%. Automation so that, you know, at 7 o'clock, your, you know, outdoor lights come on or your kitchen comes on. That way you don't look like you're home alone, which is something I was always concerned with as a single mom. It's great. And it's a wash for the builder because you're saving so much money on the wire and also a half day to a full day in the rough installation, because you're not having somebody go around and put in all the switch boxes and whatnot, that it can save so much money for the builder and the electrician that it's not costing the builder anything extra to put it into their homes. It's a really great technology. Yeah. It's also great for the retro market because I don't need to tear up your drywall. I don't need to do any of that. I just want to put a light switch. It's wireless. It works, has a little receiver that controls the on and off with the same technology that your key fob does. So it's RFID, radio frequency. Yeah, it's a really great technology. And it's just one of the many examples of people working hard to come up with things that are going to work for the homes of our future. You know, this is easier to do panelized construction when I don't have to put walls or wires in the walls. I don't have to do those cuts. I can save so much time, and I'm not having 30% penetrations into my unair conditioned attic coming through my walls. You know, that's something I won't say which builder, but we're working with a large production builder. And they had already built their model home when they picked up Levin, and we went to go retrofit their model home with our technology so they could show it to people. And so they already had penetrations in the drywall, and I was putting in a light switch, and there was so much air blasting from the wall. This is a brand new Energy Star model, right? Model home. There was so much air. I borrowed a lighter from someone, and I was like, and I took like 10 videos of it because I thought it was great, but just, you could not hold a lighter within 6 inches of this light switch because air was just, cold air was just blasting through it. And there was Christmas music playing. I'm like, this is the greatest advertisement ever. Like, there's so much air that you can get through your drywall that affects the ambient temperatures of your home. You know, you ever have a room that's extra cold and you're like, why is this room always so cold? Why is this room always so hot? Your thermostat only sits in one area. And our light switches actually give the temperature for every light switch. And the fluctuation of temperatures throughout the home is incredible. We're working on technology to put in not only the temperature sensor, but also humidity. And maybe eventually I'm pushing for carcinogen readings as well, so that each light switch, which could be 40 to 60 places throughout your own home, will tell you, you know, so and so's bedroom is 7 degrees hotter than the living room or whatnot. You know, I mean, it's just, or like I said, every time you cook with that one cast iron pan that my grandmother gave to me, the carcinogens in my house just go up, which is why I have an asthma attack every time I use it. You know, you can start putting those correlations together, and that data can be so invaluable. And eventually, I hope that data will go towards warranty issues, insurance. I mean, you know, there's so many possibilities. You know, why would you keep a warranty on a home if you can't regulate the temperatures within the home? Well, nobody checks it now. Well, you know, but what if you can eventually say, well, my all the temperature in my home stays an ambient within 6 or 7% throughout the entire home at all times. That's easier to give me a warranty on that HVAC equipment than an HVAC equipment with a home that constantly fluctuates temperature, and the HVAC runs 56 out of 60 minutes of an hour, you know, and that HVAC system is obviously going to go bad quicker than one in a more efficient home. So,
Yeah, that would be great. Maybe not great with my husband. He'll go around and make everything 60 degrees, and I can't seek warmth in the warm room.
Well, I think it's, what is it? It's 70 degrees and you're wearing a sweatshirt.
It's like 62 in my house, so you're lucky I'm not wearing a beanie right now.
Well, remind me to talk to your husband about energy efficiency someday. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just
He wants to recreate the Seattle temperatures here, apparently.
Okay. Well,
All we need is rain.
Yeah, I was gonna say we need to put some indoor fountains in your house to really up that humidity. That's why that Seattle boy likes to keep it cold, because he's so used to such a high humidity, probably always feels hot to him, you know. If you pulled
Yeah,
the
that
humidity
is
out
true.
of
But
the house.
we do have a front room that is surprisingly very cold. That when he does go to the poker room, he's like brings a blanket with him. So I'm like, it's the one time that I ever see him like this area is cold.
Okay, so now the building science nerd in me comes out. Like, why is that one room cold?
I don't know. Honestly, it's
Is it north facing? Is it how many windows? See, now I'm gonna have to come check it out, Jess. I just need to know.
Yeah, you're gonna have to come and look at it. It's like
I'm
it's
gonna bring
unfriendly.
my IR camera and be like, oh, this vents, this, you know, because you'd be
Yeah, bring
surprised.
that little what's that tool, the thing where you
The
walk
IR
around with that
camera.
checks the temperature, or we just like kind of wave it around. That would be great.
I can't bring that around
Because
here. There's too much fun that you can have with these heat-seeking cameras. They're so cool. No, but it's amazing. Like I had, we had, we have vaulted ceilings in my living room, and they're 19. We gotta go find a 19-foot A-frame ladder, but it's a 19-foot ceiling, and we have a can light up there that we switch it all to disc lights. Disc lights are much more heat-wise efficient than can lights. And I got my IR camera, and that thing sits at like, and it's on the roof, right? And it sits at like 130, 140 degrees. And Chris is like, oh, just turn on the light. I'm like, that thing's gonna spark someday. Like, I'm not turning on some ancient 1995 can light that's 19 feet in the air. Like, I'm not doing it. But
Oh my gosh,
I'm such a
you have to
geek.
change it out immediately.
Yeah, I'm serious. Apparently you can rent a 19-foot A-frame from Lowe's, so, or it's a 20-foot, but
Yeah,
still.
you can. You can
That's
actually.
way up there. And my husband's like, oh, I'll just get an extension ladder and blah, blah. He like had some redneck rig to do it. And I'm like, no, that is not OSHA compliant.
We can do like our contractors used to do and just grab some spare 2x4s off
That's
of the
it.
unused property. We'll just nail them together, make a ladder.
Hey, okay. I know that's not OSHA compliant, but some of those guys are truly skilled. Truly
Oh,
skilled.
yes. Yeah, it
It's
was truly a great ladder. I give them that. It was sturdy.
Oh man, when I was a home builder, I've seen a few situations that I'm like, I literally am not allowed to see this, but that's cool. I gotta go. Like, I'm not allowed to know that you're doing this on my job site. But there was this one guy who would do cornice. He could put up soffit and fascia at the same time with a 2x4 on-site built ladder, and he would walk it. He would walk it himself, and he could just pop,
Oh,
pop, pop, pop.
yeah.
And he had a little guy that would run and go get him pieces, and he could do more cornice in one day than two crews. And I'm like, when's he working? Because I'm not going to be on site, because I can't unsee it if I see it, but he gets stuff done. It was a real trouble sometimes being a builder, because you're like, man, it's fascinating to watch, but that is breaking so many rules.
Yeah, that's the hard part. It's like we are on schedule, but not in a good way.
I'm telling you.
Okay, so we have reached the part in the episode where I like to ask all my guests, what is a big no-no, or in this case, for this episode, what is a horror story? You don't have to say anything that's going to get either you or I in trouble,
Me run through my email.
but let us see
A
those on the
horror
down low.
story.
What is a horror story?
Let me pick on something energy efficiency wise, and I'll try not to
Yeah.
be too dramatic. Okay, I knew.
Keep me out of it.
like I said, I'll go through all my NDAs. No. One time when we were an energy raider, we had a homeowner that a builder that was having horrible, horrible problems with this one house. Beautiful $400,000 house, just brand new build, and the homeowners, of course, were on the HOA, and the husband was an engineer, and the wife was also a lawyer. Like, it was going to be bad if we continued to let these people be upset, but they were just burning up hot all the time in their house. And so we went and we took the IR camera and we set up thermometers everywhere, and we did like a whole study. And what we found was the way that the back of their house faced west, right? And they didn't have any landscaping really yet in the back, and about 12 to 16 inches of the footing of their back of their home was exposed. And so what we realized, and you could see it on the IR camera, was super cool, where their master bedroom was and where their bed was, they had a beautiful bay window looking into this great backyard, and it was lovely. But what do you call it? You could see the heat from the concrete that got hot all day long. It would just permeate, and their bedroom would get up to like 80 degrees, and they'd be cranking the HVAC. But it was a two-story home, so that furnace was having to run the HVAC all the way down, and it was having to combat this hot concrete that's permeating, 100-degree Texas heat. And heat rises, so it would just infiltrate everything in this home. And so the best fix we found was mulch, and for less than $200, the builder put in a beautiful landscape thing behind that bay window. It covered that concrete, which was then kept wet and moist with the garden. And that literally saved thousands of dollars and made these people so happy. And it taught me a huge lesson that the energy efficiencies in your home go beyond what's inside. You need to look out what's outside. You need to, I've seen people that kept getting a spot of fascia that melted. It turns out they had a pool, and that pool had a reflection point that constantly, I mean, thank God it didn't get the house on fire, but it just reflected in this one spot for so much, it would warp their soffit and fascia. So there are a lot of great examples of how energy efficiency, you got to think outside the box sometimes, and you really got to look at. I knew somebody who also had a similar situation on the west side of a house that the certain things in their pantry would melt, because it sat against that exterior wall, and it sat next to that brick all day, and he had just in Texas we use T-ply, so T-ply is cardboard. There's not a lot between you and outside. Your brick doesn't do anything but get hot. I think energy efficiency, when you're looking at different idiosyncrasies in each home, you've really got to think outside the box on what could be causing things. And landscaping is really, really important for energy efficiency, actually. So
Yeah.
fun fact.
Well, we're definitely going to do a part two on sustainability. So, to all of our listeners, we've got more questions. In fact, I have like a laundry list of questions. So, guys, don't fret. I'm going to ask all the questions next time. But I'm going to bother Vanessa a little bit more. But I am so glad that you came on today. I'm really glad that we were able to start the conversation about sustainability. And guys, out there, if y'all want to be the listing of the week in a future episode, make sure that you reach out, give me a property, and also like and subscribe so that I can tag you in all the things. We can cross promote you. It's gonna be great. We're gonna make some home sales. So again, Vanessa, thank you so much for coming on today.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, guys, have a great weekend. Bye.